Are you ready to sell more books? I'm Brian Cohen.
And I'm Claire Taylor. If you're ready to get your books into the hands of the right readers
and make some more money,
you've come to the right podcast.
And now it's time to talk tips, tricks, and news to help you sell more of your books. Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Sell More Book Show, episode 488. I'm Brian Cohen from Best Page Forward, joined by Claire Taylor from FFS Media. Claire, we're here. We're back. I'm excited for a show with you. It's been hot everywhere, including down in Mexico, where I just spent a week for my 10-year anniversary. What's going on with you?
Boy, I was trying to think earlier, what has happened since the last time
we recorded?
What has happened to my life? No, I mean, things have been going really great over here, frankly. I had a great IEQ9 training a few weeks ago that was the Integrative Enneagram. It was just, I love learning new perspectives on and new approaches to the Enneagram. This one's a very assessment-based one, whereas some are more narrative. There's the narrative tradition. Where you learn your type through telling stories and reflecting. And this one, you know, this approach is like, get right down to it. Do this test. It has really high accuracy. Figure it out. Move on kind of thing. So that might be good for some people. That might be really helpful. So I love amassing more tools for my toolbox. And that was really a great and overwhelming experience. A week of in-person training. I was like, right. Oh my gosh, I haven't been around people this much. So that was good. And then, you know, just prepping for the retreat in October, and I've launched the Liberated Writer course, which will also start in October. So that's a virtual course if anyone is interested.
Awesome. Where's that URL for the Liberated Writer?
You can just go to liberatedwriter.com.
What a good URL. Love it.
I snatched that up years ago. I've been planning this brand for a while, and I've finally gotten to it.
That's amazing. Yeah, I mean, on my side, I've got a webinar coming up tomorrow as this is live. Tomorrow, I will be talking about self-publishing success. I will give you the teaser of it being about writing to market, growing your email list, and then testing to see which of your books is more profitable. And we'll talk about all that. At the webinar, I'll give you a link here, Claire, so that you can, I don't have a good pretty one for the podcast, but I'll give you one for the show notes, and that'll be on Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern time. It's funny. I used to have all of these, presentations at 3, and part of that was because of living in Chicago. And so it was really 2 p.m. Central, but then I didn't change it the first 2 years I was here. And you know, sometimes you get used to doing things at a certain time and you're like, no, I need to change this thing that I get to run because it's my business. I get to decide what time I want to do it. And I think we all get to decide when we launch a book. We all get to decide when we want the tough part of our year to be. And there will be tough parts. But remember, you get the decision, people. You do not need to let it just be, well, it's been 6 weeks since my last launch, so I must launch again. No, you must take care of yourself. You must be kind to yourself.
Preach.
Please. So if you want to change something so that it fits better with your life, it is self-publishing and you get to decide.
Preach it, Brian. I just want everyone listening who's not actually watching the video to know that Brian has a nice tan, and this is Beach Brian talking. His job is Beach Brian.
All Brian Beach Brian does is beach and dole out self-publishing wisdom. That's all he does.
Beach Brian.
Oh, thanks. Thank you, Claire. And I appreciate you calling out the tan for the audio. Oh, awesome. Well, I'm ready to progress onward here. We have the previous week's question was, what can you do to make yourself more human to your readers. And Brian Scott Paul said, by responding to my readers out of empathy and personal experience, no human or machine can ever replace me. I'm the only one. I love that, Brian.
Mm-hmm. And Logan Russell said, write from personal experience. I'm currently writing a character who shares my disability, and I'm able to provide details that another author, human or not, would never know, even if they did a lot of research.
That's smart. And thinking of another author, human or not, I really like that concept there from Logan. And Anne-Marie Eber, the longtime listener to the show, said, connect with them and show gratitude that they support you. And we will always show you gratitude, Anne-Marie, as you've been with us from nearly the beginning. So I love that. And gratitude is always something we can use that that not everyone emphasizes.
Can I just share a little bit about gratitude that I thought was, you know, pretty astounding and expertly done?
Yes.
Okay. I just want people to think about this. So recently at one of Taylor Swift's concerts, she got a 7-minute standing ovation. And her response, and I think this is important for all of us to study because we are all public-facing people as authors. Her response was, I don't even know what to say. She's basically like, this is so abnormal and wonderful. And when I inevitably have downward spirals like we all do, I'm going to be able to think about this moment. So thank you. Like, that was her response. And that is one of the most expertly executed responses to applause I've ever heard.
That's
like,
so
it does
cool.
So much with so little, and she did it off the cuff. Like, I think that we all have a lot to learn about the way that we engage with our fans from her.
That's so great. That's so great. Cool. Thank you for sharing that.
It's just fresh on my mind.
Yeah, no, that's so great. And going back to that question, you can always answer the question of the week at sellmorebookshow.com in the comments section or in the Sell More Book Show After Party Facebook group. We've got a top story, Claire. Are you ready?
I'm so ready.
Okay.
Release it, Brian.
Release it. Cracking down. That was me. I did that one. Cracking down. What started as Book Talk's obsession with hockey players and a partnership between content creators and the NHL's, National Hockey League's, Seattle Kraken morphed into sexual harassment and frustration, according to NBC News. In December, authors in the very popular hockey romance subgenre began using videos of handsome hockey players to connect up and promote their books. This led to the Kraken partnering up with their creators, creating a Book Talk jersey, posting thirst trap videos of their own players on their own account, and even inviting an influential Book Talk creator to a playoff game. But these commercial thirst traps hit the wall when the wife of Seattle Kraken star Alexander Wenberg pleaded with social media to stop posting sexual comments about her husband. The Kraken responded by deleting its Book Talk content, angering the creators and readers who had become fans of the team and the content. Dr. Jessica Maddox, an assistant professor of digital media technology at the University of Alabama, said, quote, the Kraken were rewarding this kind of content creation and feeding the hype and feeding the frenzy. And then as soon as it started not going well for them, they dropped the whole situation and pretended that it never happened. I can understand wanting to throw up your defenses and even go on the offensive, but everything we do online has really real offline consequences. So, Claire, it took us a little bit of time to get to this one because it was the beginning of August that this all happened. And this was really interesting, seeing the responses from the author community. Obviously, there were some angry ones, but there were also responses like, well, you should have known that trying to partner with a big corporate entity like a professional sports team might not end well. What were your thoughts? Were you following this when it was all happening? I was, with bated breath.
Oh, I this is the first I've heard about it, and like researching it when I saw this today, I was like, oh, this is fascinating.
Right.
It's interesting. I think that it would be a much different story if the Kraken players had been able to individually opt in or out of this. You know, rather than just the team making that decision for all of them. There's so much to unpack here, Brian. I'm going to let you start.
Sure. Well, I mean, look, it makes me think about my working with Amazon and being a part of the Amazon Ads Educators. When I do content with them, and whether it be in the form of a blog post, video content, like a webinar, it's very different from my own process because it actually has to go through legal and PR. It has to go through Amazon's legal and PR department. Everything kind of needs to get checked. And at the beginning, you know, I didn't realize what would get flagged and what wouldn't. And now I've learned, like, okay, well, when I do things with Amazon, I need to keep these things in mind that things could get flagged. And when I just do my own thing, I put it through my own quality process, which is not the same, which doesn't have to go through the a professional team there. And so I think that these book talk creators and these authors who were involved with this had never necessarily been through that sort of process where, hey, some things are off limits and some things are okay. And so I think that this one escalated pretty quickly down the nothing is okay anymore path. But but it really makes you think that, you know, there are a lot of things on TikTok that are commercial in nature, sounds and whatnot. And you keep hearing, oh, these things have been cleared. But I don't know if at any point a commercial entity that has been involved with a sound or a video, if at any point that commercial entity is not okay with the content, the content's going to go away. And if you're connected to that content, the content's still going to go away. You don't really have a say in it because you were sort of profiting off of someone else's intellectual property.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much going on here, and things spiral so fast on TikTok.
Yes, they do.
And it's also going to continue to have these problems with sort of like brand partnerships because there is so little regulation or ability to regulate built in stuff like, you know, protecting your brand assets and your videos. They can easily be pulled, you know, posted in such proliferation by, you know, throwaway accounts that you can never really get them down, that sort of thing. I am not super shocked that it spiraled this quickly into harassment and dehumanization.
Yes.
I think that as a society, we need to possibly inspect our parasocial relationships with public figures.
I think you are right, Claire. I think you are right. And we have to remember that if at any point we are using something that isn't stock photography that we've purchased or whatnot that has been licensed for a specific purpose, there's real people involved. And
even memes. Yeah. I mean, you start to hear
these
stories.
I was just thinking about memes.
Yeah, of people who've been memed and how dehumanizing it is to be a meme, because a meme is ripping your image away from your humanity, and it sort of becomes everybody's to manipulate. And the story, you're part of everyone else's story, but you aren't your own story. So yeah, I think that that's something we can maybe think about as a community. And I think it's also a reason why I have been talking to a lot more authors who are reluctant to engage publicly because they see stuff like this and they don't want to become dehumanized by their readers and have, you know, demands put on them that just don't, that are unrealistic and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not surprised you're talking to more authors who want to avoid it because it's scary.
It is. It's even scary. Just having a TikTok blow up and go viral can change your life and really throw you into a moment where you need to reconnect with yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Claire, we've got some hot potatoes of wisdom here. They've been cooking up at, I'd say 375 degrees, but the 7 button is broken on my oven, so I can't actually make something 375 degrees. We need a new oven. But is there ever a time that authors should consider connecting up with a bigger commercial organization?
I think that the power that commercial organizations can build for themselves is, you know, something that can be useful. It's also, you know, it kind of cuts both ways. So going into some sort of partnership with a commercial organization is not necessarily bad, but I think you need to go in with eyes wide open. They may be one of those organizations that really, you know, puts mission first or puts ethics first. And it's like, maybe first, you know, after their top priority of profit. So I think that you want to talk to people who have done it before if you're going to do it, you know, get some information on it, proceed with wisdom, don't get too emotionally attached to it, and make sure that the brand itself aligns with your brand and that you have an exit if that changes. I think that's important. They can leave anytime, like, you know, with the NHL thing, they can pull back if they decide that they don't like you, but you also want to be able to pull back if you decide that they're doing something shady that your readers will not agree with or will be turned off by. So yeah. I think there is a time for it. It can get you, you know, in front of new faces that you can, you know, piggyback a little bit on their reputation, their money, their budget, all that. But just make sure that you have an exit.
I like that. There isn't just a, they might have a deal breaker with me. I might have a deal breaker with them.
Yes. Yes. And know when it's time to leave. You're not going to be with that organization forever. You're not going to be aligned with them forever. Know when it's time to leave.
Right. Love that. Love that.
All right, Brian. Now that the relationship with the Kraken has been terminated, how can authors and creators pivot to ensure they can still reach their hockey-loving readers?
So the Kraken and BookTok relationship went into, overtime, and then there was a penalty shootout. Now it's over. So the what can authors do in order to still reach their fans? Authors can do what they've always done, which is take those relationships off of a platform they don't control and try to get them onto a platform they do control. It's very easy on TikTok to set up a freebie that is something that can get people onto your email list. It's very easy to mention that freebie on a regular basis. I've even seen in business accounts, which I know a lot of authors like to avoid, but I started looking into a business account. You can actually make it so that posts and or ads, but it doesn't have to be just ads. Even you can make a post that is collecting email addresses. And you can just say, I want to turn on email collection for this post. That's powerful because you need to get people off that platform if you want to reach them anytime you want. And you do not have that control unless they get off the platform. So always have your exit plan, your strategy for what happens if this platform blows up tomorrow. How am I going to reach these people? Email is one of the ways.
Yep. I love that.
Awesome.
And one of these days I'm going to learn what icing is. I still don't know what that rule is in hockey.
So it's really a two-line thing. If it goes across two lines and then the defensive team is the first to get the puck, then it's, you know, then it's going to be icing.
So the defensive team is the first to get one. It's icing.
If the defensive team, if the other team gets it, then.
Okay. But if you hit it across two lines and then your team gets it, it's not icing?
So now I'm like, I haven't watched hockey in a while, and I'm afraid I'm going to say something and someone's going to be like, Brian, actually. Yeah, I mean, if there is, if the offensive team who hits it gets it back, that's why there's usually a race to the puck of some kind. Like they can, or at least they can.
They were just very excited.
Oh yeah. Well, they are as well. I mean, because of book talk. So we've got lightning here. And not the Tampa Bay Lightning, which is an NHL hockey team. It's the Tampa Bay Lightning round. They're sponsoring us. So
for now.
For now, I know. Claire, Montana, the state of Montana is banning TikTok usage in the state. Do you think other states or the federal government will follow?
I love that you clarified that it was the state of Montana as opposed to like Hannah Montana.
You have to clarify. Okay. You have to.
You know, easy mistake to make.
Yeah.
Okay, so Montana has now banned TikTok. However, they're going to enforce that. Do I think that other states or the federal government will follow? I do not think the federal government will follow. It's too powerful of a force. There are too many large corporations with financial interests in TikTok.
Yeah.
TikTok is, you know, like one of the main sponsors of, I think, like the Portland Timbers soccer team. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got it on their jersey. Like there's too many financial interests that TikTok has in the U.S. for places other than like Montana to really want to even mess with that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what kind of financial interests Montanans have with TikTok, but clearly not enough. So I don't think that it's going to be. I don't think that it'll be banned. I think there will be some restrictions put on it. I mean, I think the idea of like, hey, don't bring like your cell phone period into, you know, restricted areas might be a good idea. Just don't bring that phone that can be hacked anywhere with state secrets. That'd be great if we could just keep some state secrets for a little while. You know, but I don't think that in general this is going to spread. I think there's just too much money that TikTok is putting into different businesses and into the economy in general. And there are too many people who are selling their products through TikTok, right? So that's another thing. There's these big major brands that are having great engagement on TikTok and they're not going to want to see TikTok go away. So I think this is a culture war disguised as, you know, national security for the most part, but I don't think it's going to take off.
Man,
that was more than lightning. That was.
I didn't think a culture war disguised as national security would make it as a quote onto a podcast about self-publishing, but I love it.
Oh, well, there's a lot of that, actually. I feel like the publishing industry is really sticking its hand right into politics.
It's true.
It's true. Brian.
Yes.
KKR bought Simon & Schuster from Paramount, according to NPR. Will the sale of Simon & Schuster by Paramount be a positive or negative for Simon & Schuster?
Let's see how many times we can say Simon & Schuster. So Simon & Schuster got sold by Paramount to, a private equity firm, KKR. Will this be a positive or a negative? Well, Simon & Schuster almost got bought by Penguin Random House, which would have led to the loss of a lot of jobs in Simon & Schuster and in Penguin. They would have smushed together. Now that that's not happening, I do think it's positive for the people working at Simon & Schuster. It's positive for authors who had books with editors that will now not get reduced, which would have happened if two publishing houses had come together. But also, when I think a private equity firm, I think, hey, everything is a line item now. Everything is about profit and loss. And so there still could be reductions as a result. There still could be people who had publishing contracts lose out on things. And so I think For people working for Simon & Schuster, this is probably more positive than it would have been, but I do think that it will likely still lead to some reduction in projects. So some authors will be out contracts and some people working there will be reduced, but probably not as many as would have happened in a merger. Because during a merger, a lot of people with the same job now work for the same company. But that isn't going to be as big of a problem with this new swap, as it were.
Interesting. So. That's very, very astute observation.
Brian. Must be the beach. I like that. Must be the beach. So,
Brian, your job is beach, not astute observation.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. I'm going back to the beach. Gotta get my sand. I gotta get new sandals. They like melted in Mexico. So,
oh, no.
Claire, do you think the sale of Simon & Schuster from an entertainment company of Paramount to a private equity firm, will this change the way that the publisher does business?
All right. So Simon & Schuster is moving from an entertainment company as its parent company to a private equity firm.
Mm.
Is this going to be something of note? Yes, I think that this is not going to put art and creative expression and novel ideas at the forefront of what gets published. I can't imagine that if I were to be like, hey, I want to put like art and novel ideas at the forefront of publishing. I can't imagine being like, you know what the answer is? We should sell out to a private equity firm.
Right.
So I don't know that this is going to work well for Simon & Schuster. I don't know. I just, you know, we've seen some things in various industries get sold to private equity firms. And I don't know that like the consumer always benefits from that. So,
yeah.
You know, art and capitalism have always had a complicated, sometimes, you know, healthy, but sometimes not so healthy relationship. And so we will see how this plays out.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised to see some authors with Simon & Schuster start publishing independently soon.
It could happen. It could happen.
All right, Brian. According to Publishers Weekly, an antitrust lawsuit may finally go to court to determine if Amazon is a monopoly. Do you think the court will rule against Amazon and proclaim the company to be a monopoly?
This is like the most news-packed lightning round we've done, and it's making it dense. It's making it dense. But okay, so looks like it might finally go to court. The ultimate decision: will Amazon be determined to be a monopoly and have to sell off into various parts? My thinking is, even if that happens, it's not going to change anything. The Amazon already functions like a bunch of different companies. And so like, when there's a change in one part of the company, I don't remember who told me this. I believe it might've been Dave Chesson. But I heard that when it was determined that the Kindle devices were no longer going to use Mobi and they were going to move over to EPUB, that was not told to the Kindle device developers. It was just a decision that was made by another part of the company. And then the Kindle people were like, but the devices don't take EPUB. So what do we do? It's like, well, we already told everyone, there's already been a press release. So Amazon already functions like a bunch of different companies. So even if it got split up, sure, I'm sure billionaires would be trading dollars back and forth in a way that doesn't matter to us. But I don't think it would necessarily make a difference. And so, do I think the court will rule against Amazon? Who cares? It's going to be the same either way.
It's giving Oppenheimer vibes, you know?
Ooh,
the compartmentalization.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So, put on your goggles. So, Claire, if Amazon is forcibly split into multiple companies, how might this affect authors and readers?
Okay, so let's just say, theoretically, Amazon is ruled a monopoly. It's split up a bunch of different ways. As, you know, authors, how does it affect us? How might it affect us? How might it affect our readers? I think the short answer is there are too many variables to know. So maybe we should not worry about it because we don't know how it would be split up. We don't even know that it's going to happen. So if it happens, how are they going to split it up? And if that happens, what's that going to look like? There's so many ifs here, and we're so far away from any results of it, that I think if you are already uncomfortable with being exclusive to Amazon or publishing on Amazon, just keep doing what you're doing. If you are comfortable being exclusive to Amazon and that's how you make a good amount of your money and that works for you and you kind of understand that like eventually it's not going to work as well, we are hitting some sort of, you know, point where things are getting squeezed and Yes. You're like, you know what, I'm just going to ride it out until it falls apart and then I'm going to go try something else, then I think you should stick with that.
Yeah.
So I think considering some of these things so far in advance, it can cause anxiety. It can cause us to make bad decisions. It can cause us to, you know, deviate from the plan based on nothing but speculation. So we don't want to run our businesses that way. We have a sort of a hubris that we can predict the future. And that gives us a nice sense of certainty that like, oh, but I'm very good at predicting the future. So that makes me feel safe in the present. But we really can't. So,
Yeah. You
know, just focus on what you're doing now and make sure that you have flexibility in your business model.
Very nice. I like that answer, Claire. We need a question of the week. I would love to hear what people think of this Kraken thirst trap thing. I just think it's so funny and interesting. So, Claire, any thoughts on what direction this question of the week should go in?
Oh, it's such a comedy of errors all around.
Yeah.
I would just like to know, there's so many moving parts here. I would love to know what about this story really stands out to people.
Yeah. What about the Seattle Kraken's failed partnership with BookTok stands out to you most? Mm-hmm. And why?
And why? There's a good and essay why. Question.
Yes, exactly. We'll expect two lined pages worth of answers over at sellmorebookshow.com Yep. Or in the Sell More Book Show After Party Facebook group. Go check out Claire's Liberated Writer class, or at least get registered for it for October at liberatedwriter.com. Go check out my self-publishing success webinar at a URL that I have no idea of. So I'm just going to give it to Claire so we can throw it into the show notes. And anything else you want to share, Claire?
Nope, it's been great. Great being here today, Brian. I'm glad to be back.
I'm glad too. I totally agree. And with the same laugh in my voice. So I hope that you have, that all of you out there listening have a wonderful week of book selling. For Claire, I'm Brian. We will talk to you next week for episode 489. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Sell More Book Show. Visit the website at www.sellmorebookshow.com for detailed show notes and subscription information, or to send us news or comments for use on the show. Also, please take a moment to subscribe to the show and leave us a review. Thank you very much for listening, and happy book selling!